Celtics Ready Podcast. Jalen Brown with the slam. Oh, a pass from Tatum and Wiggins with the finish.
Richie the paint, Jordan.
Brown, Williams, boom. Green
to the basket. Oh, awesome.
Hello and welcome to the Celtics Reddit Podcast. Ben Vallis here. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're doing well. We are in peak off-season at the moment, not much going on with the Celts at all, so we thought it was high time to dive into perhaps the biggest issue affecting this team over the past 4 years. That is, of course, the curse of Isaiah Thomas. Joining us is the world's leading expert on the curse of IT, Dr. Charles Ulysses Norris Thorpe. Welcome, sir. How are you doing?
Good evening, Ben.
Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm really appreciative of you taking this time out of what I'm sure is a very, very busy schedule for you. And thanks for coming on to Incredibly So. Well, look, we won't keep you for too long. Now, before we get into it, I believe the academic term for your profession is the professor of curse studies. Am I correct there?
Yes, that's correct. I specialize in the study of curses, basketball or otherwise. I became familiar with the Boston Celtics whilst very briefly tenured at MIT. It ended rather abruptly. They told me that curse studies was dangerously unscientific, so I decided to take my talents elsewhere.
Interesting. Well, look, I'm glad, and I'm sure a lot of Celtics fans are glad that you've devoted so much of, you know, your time and your academic prowess to a subject really close to our hearts. Now, let's start here for the uninitiated folks out there. So what is the curse of IT and what triggered it?
Okay, well, if you cast your minds back to August 22nd, 2017, the Celtics had come off a rather astounding performance in the playoffs. Unfortunately, young Isaiah, who'd scored wonderfully, had suffered what some were calling a career-ending injury. So those who are less trusting, shall we say, of the basketball gods, said, "Trade him, get rid of him. We have to get rid of him. He's going to be something of a poison chalice for the Boston Celtics." And thusly, he was traded for Kyrie Irving. Now, that's really where this mess starts. The following 4 years, now this number's going to reoccur several times. You'll see that the numbers are terribly important. 4 years of bad luck, 4 years of mistakes, free agency, fallout, shall we say. We all know the situation with Kyrie Irving. I need not remind you of that. But for instance, Al Horford, the big money contract, Gordon Hayward suffered a debilitating injury in the first 5 minutes of his first game as a Celtic. And of course, more recently, Kemba Walker. So as you can see, there's four max free agents that really symbolize the bad luck that the Celtics suffered.
And these four max free agents, they were impacted at no fault of their own. This is from your studies. They reveal that this is all triggered by that initial trade that Danny Ainge made of Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, absolutely. He somewhat cast a spell, shall we say, upon the Celtics by making a disastrous decision. Now, I'm sure some of you will say, but why on earth would we keep a player such as Isaiah Thomas, who has befallen such an injury? Well, you see, that man was about to become exceedingly wealthy, so one would imagine that he would give Rich Paul, LeBron James's agent, a call. Of course, Rich Paul wouldn't answer that call, would he? But Isaiah would leave an answer phone message, and that would later be responded to by LeBron, and he would say, "Fix me, King. I've got $120 million to play about with." And as such, he'd dust off the injury and return to the court, a brighter, bouncier version of himself. I have no doubt. Mm.
Oh, of course. So the Oxford Dictionary defines curse as a solemn utterance intended to invoke a supernatural power to inflict harm or punishment on someone or something. You mentioned those key four free agents who have clearly been, I guess, victims, for lack of a better word, of this curse. Are there broader reaching impacts of this curse that maybe the layman like myself wouldn't have realized?
Well, I mean, I suppose if you look at the situations with Terry Rozier, Marcus Morris, these people were expected, at the very least, to return to the Celtics and play a big role. But Danny's hubris has led this team to be ever further mired by the bad luck of said curse. Yes, it is supernatural in nature, but man plays his role here, and that man is Danny Ainge.
Mm, of course. There are some IT curse deniers out there. I'm curious to hear what you say to the IT curse deniers of the world. So a couple of Reddit users have commented on recent occurrences of this kind of content in the Celtics Reddit community. So I'll go to one user here, user Wallando Boom, who said, "Haven't we made the Eastern Conference Finals multiple times since trading him?" What do you say to someone like that who continues to thrive in an optimistic sort of viewpoint, you know, despite living under this curse of IT?
Well, okay, let's look back in history, and the 1985 NBA Finals, Lakers-Celtics. If you remember, the year before, there was the clothesline felt around the world. Kevin McHale taking out Kurt Rambis, the original Greek freak, shall we say. And of course, Rambis, a well-known practicer of the dark arts, and he put a curse of his own onto the Celtics. So that following year, I mean, of course they were going to repeat. That would have been a Celtics three-peat, 84, 85, 86, 100%. But Rambis wasn't having any of it. So he said, "Okay, McHale, you'll stop me from scoring. Well, you will be the leading scorer in the next playoffs. But your team will lose, and they will lose in Boston." Without a doubt, that's definitely a curse. There is no chance that the Lakers could have outplayed the Boston Celtics. No.
Mm. So it sounds like, from what you're saying, that these curses can rear their ugly heads even amid sort of simultaneous success. And one shouldn't be distracted by ongoing success, and rather one should look to focus on the curse at the core of itself. Am I understanding you correctly there?
Well, look, yes, the team made it to 3 out of 4 Eastern Conference Finals, but that's the Eastern Conference Finals. Is that an achievement? Mm. No, a championship is the only achievement in basketball, clearly.
Mm. We'll go to another Reddit user here as well, because there are quite a few on this sort of curse denial side of things. I'm certainly not one of them, but anyway,
right, yeah.
This person, their username is Fuck Black Horses, and we can unpack that username on a future episode. Well, there is no curse, and you trade IT for Kyrie 100 out of 100 times. One can't make a team, and one is still playing at a superstar level, referring to Kyrie, obviously. It sucks the way everything went down, but it is what it is. They mentioned that you'd still make this trade 100 out of 100 times. I'm assuming you would take the inverse approach. I can't imagine a world where you would go back and make this trade. In fact, it sounds like if you could, you'd go back in time and undo the trade.
Oh, absolutely. As I stated before, you know, Isaiah has become a very, very rich man due to this, you know, new max contract that we absolutely would have signed him to. So he's going to heal up. He's going to put on another all-star showing. And this, in turn, will attract free agents later on down the line. I'm sure Kawhi perhaps would have considered the Celtics as a destination in 2019. Of course, Greg wouldn't have traded him here. But nevertheless, the fortunes of the Celtics would have been completely different. And the idea that Isaiah Thomas couldn't have bounced back. Well, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, these athletes can do it. Just a little bit of a, you know, a trip to a clinic and they're right as rain, shall we say.
You've segued nicely into my next question there, and I'm sure that you've uncovered many a detail on this in your lengthy academic studies, but can you help us understand what a world over the past 4 years would look like if we hadn't burdened ourselves with the curse of IT?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is only one rational answer to that question, and that is four championships. 2018, 2019, 2020, and of course 2021 would all have been Celtics gold. 21 in 21. It's got a nice ring to it, hasn't it? As I say, Isaiah would have bounced back. He would have been the leading point guard and had an absolute all-star season. Gordon Hayward, of course, there would be no ankle injury. He would have been the man, shall we say, in Boston whilst the Jays developed and became the stars that they are now. Horford would never have left. He would have mentored the young Robert Williams, who by now I would have thought would have been a top five center in the league.
And Hakeem Olajuwon kind of player.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. I don't think there is a silly bone in that boy's body. He may present himself as someone who makes ill-advised decisions on the court, but look at him. He's an absolute specimen. So yes, absolutely. That's your answer. We would have had just a fantastic 4 years. LeBron, by this point, I think, would have retired. I mean, he just embarrassment, really, of going to the Lakers, not winning another championship, not being in the GOAT conversation, boo-hoo. Mm. Michael Jordan just bought a new yacht, by the way, LeBron.
Just overwhelmed by the success of the Celtics, it sounds
like.
Oh,
absolutely.
It's so difficult, given what we've seen in the past 4 years, to look back and envision, you know, what might and probably could well have been. So it's very good that people like yourself with, great minds and significant academic resources are out there really honing in on this kind of issue, because it really is important to fans to realize. We were talking a little bit offline, and supposedly the curse is now broken, or it's close to being broken. Curious if you could explain to us a little bit more about why that might be the case.
Well, you have to go through a process. There are a variety of spells and actions that one must take to reverse the effects of a curse. Now, we were always tied in for 4 years. Again, as I say, the number four recurs again and again and again. The numerology of this is so important, so integral, can't be ignored. But if one looks back to the beginning of April this year, we've just come off the All-Star break, the Celtics are about to go on a series of games on the road on the West Coast, and Paul Pierce, now we know him as the Truth, but what does that mean? What does the Truth moniker mean? Well, of course, he's a prophet. He sees the future of this team. And he has determined that Danny Ainge is going to be stepping down as the general manager of the Boston Celtics by the end of the season. So he himself performs this ritual, shall we say, on Instagram Live to show us that the sacrifice of the job will lead us to better things. He said, good things are coming. The truth shall set you free. I mean, do you need any more evidence than that? But I digress. We begin a process of reversing the curse. The trading for Evan Fournier of the Orlando Magic for 2 second-round picks, a paltry sum, really. But the four, again, it was symbolic of the understanding that this curse was going to be coming to an end. But of course, without Danny stepping down, Danny, the mad king, the man who represented the number 44 to in the eyes of the Celtics fandom. I mean, not in the eyes of Brian Scalabrine, perhaps, but he needed to step down for this process to begin. And when it was announced, I think those of us in the know were really rather excited. It was, of course, when Kemba Walker was traded that I really thought the fortunes of this team are about to change. So the return of Al Horford. I mean, Al was representative of the contract that Isaiah probably would have gotten had the trade never happened and perhaps the injury hadn't been taken into consideration. 100 million, was it? It was roughly 100 million over 4 years for the Philadelphia 76ers. Well, you see, this is perhaps what Isaiah would have received, so to get him back in the fold meant that you were ridding yourself of the last piece of the four-way puzzle in Kemba Walker, who really he exemplified all elements of the curse. He's on money that you know, really is perhaps undeserving of someone so hobbled by injury. And he, of course, was also representative of the betrayal of the Boston Celtics, because as we understand it, Marcus Smart, what's up my hive, he's always been there in the fold waiting to take that position, to be the leader of the Boston Celtics, to be the starting point guard. But each time a new person has come in to stand in his way, it was first Kyrie and then Kemba. So it was a betrayal of him, but of course of the entire fan base, because we all knew that the Celtics needed a point guard who could distribute the ball, and it's not exactly Kemba's forte, shall we say. There's another number four. Where was I?
Well, I'll add a Reddit user comment there on the number four. So user Funkbro Funk wrote, "Guess who became a full-time contributor of the Celtics broadcast this year?" That's right. Chris Forsberg. Coincidence? I think not.
Absolutely
and,
not.
Yeah, very observant there by Funkbro Funk. Thank you for that comment. And Reddit user Squim Jim wrote, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, but I'm keen to sort of circle back on this because it is important as far as the longevity and the history of the franchise. So Squim Jim goes on to write, "This curse is more ancient and more menacing than the supposed ancient texts would lead you to believe. Why was IT injured to begin with? What about Kendrick Perkins, Kevin Garnett, Reggie Lewis, Len Bias, Larry Bird? The curse is real. It's just not what you think. It's the curse of basketball, and no one has been able to defeat it. This year demonstrates that it's only getting stronger." So I mentioned that comment through the lens of this next question. What's next for this year's Celtics, or the sort of the short-term future for the Celtics? Are we spiritually speaking owed a burst of success, having sort of made it out of this curse to make up for the last few years? Or should we expect an ongoing curse longevity, which, as Squim Jim points out, has been affecting the Celtics for decades now?
Well, to return to Squim Jim's comment, now let's not get ahead of ourselves. Not every single thing in this world is a curse. I think that's a fairly preposterous notion. You see, sometimes bad things do just happen. Larry Bird had a bad back, and well, you know, the 90s were the 90s, and Rick Pitino, well, anyway, I digress. The thing is that, yes, there has been a curse, but we have reached this point where the paragon of this team, of the man who is bringing the Boston Celtics back into the light, and Mr. Brad Stevens, how many letters in the name Brad? 1, 2, 3, 4 letters.
There it is.
Now, the Pobo, 1, 2, 3, 4 again, the president of basketball operations, Brad Stevens, has set into motion a reversal of the curse. Let's see, what are the actions that have been taken? He has extended Marcus Smart for 4 years. He most recently extended Robert Williams, the Time Lord, the man who has seen it all. He knew it all. He has seen every single possible outcome for the Celtics. He is, of course, a Time Lord, a manipulator of the time-space continuum. So he already knew this. It's precisely why he took the number 44 in the first place. But the extension is so important because it comes with certain caveats. Can anyone tell me how many games must Robert Williams play to receive the bonuses written into his most recent contract?
I believe it is 69 games, precisely.
It is correct, yes. And the number 69, nice. It's an incredibly nice. It's an incredibly special number, you see. It's the sort of yin-yang in the numerological world. The 6 and the 9, you can picture it. And really, that was the signifier to me, that this curse really is coming to an end. What are the fortunes for the nearby future? Well, the East is very much a stronger place now, and LeBron's retirement community seems to have grown in size, has it not? Rondo, you snake. Well, anyway, I think that the Celtics can expect at least the 4th seed in the Eastern Conference.
Great.
Will they reach the Eastern Conference Finals? It remains to be seen. I believe that the fortunes are changing, but we shouldn't get too ahead of ourselves. Perhaps not. I'm not a mind reader. I just research curses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would imagine, not knowing a lot about curses myself, of course, not being in the study of curses at any point in my life, that it takes a certain amount of time to get out from under the weight of such a curse. And this could be, as you theorize, our first season out from under the weight of said curse. And it might take, I don't know, a season or two for us to right the ship, so to speak. But it sounds like we can be hopeful and optimistic that we are now in a position to drive this team back to its once sort of dominant image that's sort of expected around the rest of the league, which is really promising.
Well, I mean, the 18th coach of the Boston Celtics, Ime Udoka, will tell you that Banner 18 is coming. It's just quite how soon that might be. Perhaps 2023, perhaps 2024. Again, the significance of the number 4. I would say good things await this team.
Absolutely music to my ears, and I'm sure for all the listeners out there. Before we wrap this one up, I know you are short for time, and I'm sure you've got classes and lectures to get back to, so we will be brief. Before we wrap up, how can this sort of thing be avoided in the future? Is there a player on the roster that we're at risk of creating a new curse around if we trade them at all?
Ah, yes. Well, this isn't going to be music to the ears of many Celtics fans, but you see, you mustn't trade Carson Edwards. He wears the number 4. We must appreciate the significance of the numbers. If we trade Carson, well, let me tell you, the future will be bleak. Jason Tatum will leave by the end of his contract. I expect Jaylen Brown will force his way out, probably to the Los Angeles Lakers, and you'll be left with a shell of this current squad. So yes, hold on to Carson. Do whatever you need to do. Put him at the end of the bench. Stick him in catering. Whatever. Just keep that man on this team.
Maybe a redeeming quality for Danny Ainge there. And, you know, a lot of people had been asking, essentially since Carson Edwards signed with the team, when are you going to trade this guy? And maybe a parting legacy by Danny Ainge to, of course, keep him on the team and ensure that he's locked up wearing the number four for at least a couple more years there.
If I may address the Celtics fan base directly. Now, I have been lambasted and ridiculed over the past few months for merely suggesting that there might be a sort of intangible, supernatural element to the bad luck that has befallen this team. But let me assure you that the curse is very real. Magic is very real, and not just a Johnson. And you can read all of this in my book, Curse-spiracy, Isaiah Thomas and the Cursed Celtics, by me, Dr. Charles Ulysses Norris Thorpe. There is a foreword by Fongos, as you'll be happy to know.
Fantastic.
I would say it would be available in all good bookshops. However, I took it to Simon & Schuster, and they laughed me out of the office. So you can, I'm sure I will get some copies available on my website. But yes, don't doubt the truth, people.
Of course. Well, I think that's a really great place to wrap it up. Miles Playvis, Dr. Charles Ulysses Norris Thorpe, I believe is your real name, which I was hesitant to use on the podcast. I wasn't sure if you wanted to maintain some anonymity there, but you're very proud of your work. We're very proud to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Been a pleasure. Go Celtics. They're the Bulls.
Indeed, go Celtics, and listeners, keep an eye out for the published works of Miles Playvis there. Very, very invigorating stuff. Folks, we'll be back later this week. Until then, go Celtics. Peace.